Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a holy gospel lesson, Jesus' high priestly prayer. And this section of the prayer is the prayer for his disciples, his prayer for all of you. Therefore, our theme this morning, Jesus prays for you. Please be seated. Dearest saints of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a red stop sign means just that. It means stop. But a green traffic light means go. But what about that yellow light? What about that yellow light? For some people, it means slam on your brakes. For other people, it means put the metal to the pedal. Now, others will tell you this yellow light, well, it all depends. It depends if there's any other cars around. It all depends if I happen to see a state trooper. Then you'd better stop, by the way. Some will say, it all depends if it's dangerous or not. It all depends if I can get away with it. If I can get away with running the red light, I'll do it. And there's great danger in this, dear ones. Just this past week, a stop sign was ran, and a young lady from Bern was instantly killed. Running red lights, running stop signs could be very, very, very dangerous. You see, they're there for a purpose. They're there to keep us safe. And therefore, we hear this morning Jesus praying to his Father and our Father in heaven, and he's praying that the Father will keep you, that he will keep you from danger from without. I should not have to tell you this, you should already know this. But the world, those people out there who do not confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, those people out there, they hate your guts. They hate you with such hatred and vitriol that they wish you were out of the way, that you were dead, that you were not here. And we've seen that also just here recently with that bombing in a country in the Far East, only because they were worshiping together. The world hates you, dear ones, due to this book, due to the Word of God. The world hates you, dear ones, because of this, because of the Word who hung on the cross. They hate you because of God's name. The world sees all of this as foolish. But we know, as the Word tells us, that the world's wisdom and the world's knowledge is destructive. It's actually destructive foolishness. The world hates you, dear ones, because you proclaim the word of truth. But to the world, this book and the words that are printed in this book and the words that are proclaimed by you, they see those as foolish words, as sheer stupidity, no better than a fairy tale. Dear ones, you are hated by this world because you are not of the world. You are seen as strange, as alien, outside of worldly norms. And therefore, you must be rejected. As a matter of fact, it's happening many places across the globe today. Not only are you strange and must you be rejected, but you must be murdered. You must be killed and gotten out of the way. Yes, you live in a world that actually seeks to destroy you because you bear the name of Jesus Christ. And didn't Jesus tell us this himself? He did. He did tell us that we will suffer We will suffer in this world because of his name, and we will be put to death, and we will suffer many great humiliations, all because of his name. We will be persecuted. We will be persecuted with great guile and through temptation. And we know what this temptation is. The temptations are obvious to us. The temptation is to turn away from God and to go your own way. You can do it yourself. Do whatever makes you happy. It's all about me and myself and I, not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do unto others before they do unto you. That's the way of the world, but it's not God's way. You see, we are being tempted all day long. As a matter of fact, God tells us that we are a sheep unto the slaughter. We face death all day long. But Jesus prays that the Father will protect us, that the Father will keep us from all these dangers. And he does this by not taking us out of the world. As you look at your insert, and as you look at the gospel lesson, it's right there in verse 15. Now, to the world, this doesn't make sense. If someone wants to destroy you, wouldn't it make sense that if there is a God, he would want to take you out of that? But you see, God doesn't think as the world thinks. And God doesn't think how we think. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. No, Jesus prays that he will protect you in this world by not taking you out of the world, but so that you may continue to proclaim the holy gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to proclaim the truth, for it is the truth that has set you free. And therefore, since you are free, since you have been liberated from the world, you're to have no fear of the world. As the great hymn tells us, take they our wife, children, and life, but they have won nothing. You see, dear ones, they can kill your body, but they cannot destroy your soul. Rather, it is God who will destroy their soul as you live forever with your Savior in heaven. Jesus prays that the Father will protect you because of dangers from within. We've talked about those dangers out there, but what about the dangers in here? And there are dangers within the church. There are dangers because there are disagreements over doctrine. There are disagreements over what this word says. There are many who say today, within the church itself, that what's written in here can't be the truth. What? Jesus was dead, and no man can rise from the dead. His bones are somewhere in Jerusalem or somewhere in Judea, and someday we will find him. And that's not a words, those aren't words of an unbeliever. Those are words of many so-called Christian preachers today. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That is false doctrine. That is apostasy. And that is what divides us, dear ones. Things like that is what divides us. Jesus is clear that in the last day, many false Christs will arise, and they will proclaim many false doctrines. And many people will be happy with that because they are hearing things that make them happy. But the word doesn't tell us that we are to be happy. The word tells us that we are to believe in Jesus and confess our sins. And in the confession of our sins, in faith, believe that our sin is forgiven. That is the great joy of proclaiming the truth of the word. No, the world tells us today that we must be diverse. Diversity is the way to go. And I challenge you, find that word in here. But there are Christian preachers preaching today, even today, that the church must not be unified. It must be diversified. No, diversity separates us. It breaks the unity that we're to have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what false teachers proclaim today. Paul tells us, I know that after my departure, Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And this is what we're hearing today all over the globe. Christian preachers standing up and proclaiming twisted things. Things that are not in here. And people believe it because they are gullible. And they're hearing things that they think are in the Bible, but they're told, you don't need to look it up. Just trust me. Just trust me. May you never hear that from me. May you always hear from me. Look it up. Read for yourself. Study the Word. Come to Bible class and hear the truth. And it's this truth that sets you free. But it's these twisted things that lays the chains of bondage back upon us. And it is these chains of bondage, it is these heavy shackles that will ultimately Satan will use to drag us right into the hellfires that have been reserved for him and his evil angels. All false doctrine, dear one, all false doctrine, without exception, ultimately threatens the proclamation of the Holy Gospel. Because Satan's whole premise is that with so much proclamation of things that sound right, aren't right, and they obscure the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All false teaching must never, ever be accepted by us. We must always, always reject it. Paul writes to the Galatians and says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. What is the gospel that was preached to the Galatians? It's in here. It's not from here. It's not from here. It's from here. And may we always proclaim what's from here at Zion. The day that I proclaim from here is the day that you should run me out of Shum. And I'm serious about that. For I will always proclaim what's from here. And we know that's the truth. And it's only the truth that sets you free. But not only are there false doctrines to be proclaimed in the church, there is also divisions among us with things that aren't in Scripture. Things that people say that is in Scripture, but it's not there. Things divide us over maybe some very petty things. And it's these petty little things that Satan will use, and he will put an air pump to it, and he'll start pumping it up, and he'll pump, and he'll pump, and he'll pump, and eventually what happens to the balloon? Eventually what happens to our unity with each other? Boom! Done. And that's why we have so many people who walk away from the church. They're angry about this, or they're angry about that, and Satan is using them, he's pumping them, and he's pumping them, and ultimately they explode. And so they walk away from the Lord over petty little things. May it not be so with you. May you understand the importance of forgiveness, dear ones, of going to those who hate you, and proclaiming the truth. I know you dislike me, dear one, but I forgive you of your sin. And in my forgiveness, I pray that you will forgive me of my sin. Over this, Satan has zero power. None. Because Satan is not God. Satan is the instigator. He is the divider in chief. And it is his purpose to divide us from within, and ultimately to destroy your faith. So Jesus prays that the Father will keep us from these dangers. And he does this by sanctifying us in the truth, by setting us apart. Thus, that's why the font is here. Here is where you are sanctified, dear one. Right here, a free gift. You are brought to the font, and by the power of the Word connected to the water, your sin was washed away, you were given newness of life, and a new name was written upon your heart. A new name, the name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You are sanctified, set apart to do a holy work. And what is the purpose of a Christian? You can't, matter of fact, dear ones, if I had a nickel for every time that someone asked me, Pastor, what's my purpose in life? Well, I wouldn't be able to buy a John Deere, but I might be able to buy a small Toyota. I've asked that a lot. So, the purpose of your life is this: proclaim Jesus and Him crucified. It's just that simple. The problem is that the world tempts us, and Satan tempts us, that we have to use our human reason and think about it. And we have to reason about it. And we have to mull it over. And ultimately, we come up with no answer at all. No, a Christian proclaims the truth. He proclaims the truth of God's word. As we hear from the book of Acts, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, unity with each other, to the breaking of bread, Holy Communion. And lastly, they prayed. They prayed to their Father in heaven, and they prayed for each other. Therefore, let us do this same thing here at Zion. Let us devote ourselves to the teaching of the apostles' word, to the word, the holy word of God. Let us devote ourselves to unity, to fellowship. Let us devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. And so now I ask you to please rise and let us devote ourselves to prayer. Please rise and let us pray. Heavenly Father, in accordance with your Son's prayer, keep us to the end in the midst of the dangers that threaten us from without and from within. Keep us in the one true faith and continually sanctify us in the truth of your word. Help us, O Lord, to devote ourselves to your word, to hear your word, to study your word, to know your word, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. Help us, O Father, to have fellowship with each other, to be united with each other by the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Heavenly Father, we proclaim the joys of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a dying world, that it is Jesus who was born of the Virgin. It is Jesus who went to the cross. It is Jesus who rose on the third day. And it is Jesus who ascended into heaven and is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Help us, Father, to devote ourselves to all that you've given us, and to devote ourselves always to the means of grace. Heavenly Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.